You are now listening to the Geek Bro Network. Check out geekbro.net. That's how geeking is done.
C-R-I-T.
Die!
Welcome everybody to another episode of Crit or Die.
Bears of Gaming, goddamn Benny.
I love Scary Pedro.
The fuck
You're
out of
so
me.
Excited.
I was ready for that.
You were ready and it still surprised you.
I was looking at you right in the face and it was like,
yeah, you knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And you weren't ready.
I was not ready.
Oh my God, I'm so excited to have my bears back.
Hello, everybody.
Hi. Hello.
And we have a new challenger on the board. Hello. Does everybody say hello to our new friend? Say hello, new friend.
Hello, new friend. And
I love how that started.
Please refer to him as new friend from now. His name is NF.
Yeah, new friend, NF.
My name is James. Hello.
Hello, James.
Hi, James. Much better than
NF. We brought James in. He was actually our fourth player for the game that we're going to be talking about later on for our review. But he's also here because he is just like us. He's a friend of ours that's also a geek. In fact, I want everybody to know a little bit about him just so that we have some kind of background, what's the word I'm looking for?
History? You literally said
God damn it. I'm trying to look for that word.
It's give him some crunchy to chew on.
Yeah, je ne sais quoi, you know.
I want to know. I want to know about your essence. Tell me more about.
Well, it's a blue essence. It's very nice.
The aura today is orange.
Yes, spread your essence across the audio waves. Yes.
Spread your essence across the audio.
I haven't eaten the right food for this
today. We already started.
Minute 40 in, semen joke.
48 seconds in.
All right, and you were wondering if it was family friendly.
Yeah, though.
There you go.
James started with us like,
you don't
want to
drop
F-bombs,
but I'm not supposed to.
You can fucking drop
F-bombs. You can fucking drop whatever fucking F-bomb you
want. There'll be a lot of jism all over this. It's a very moist podcast.
Well, James, give us some of your credentials, the reason why you think yourself as a geek, as we do.
Well, I've always enjoyed kind of the geeky culture. Been a gamer pretty much my whole life. You know, started off playing. One of my first memories is playing Contra with my dad.
Yeah.
You know, on the original NES. So that was fun. I always stole his lives because I died a lot.
That's pretty much how it went.
I died a lot, so I stole a lot of his lives, but I was probably like 8 or something. Yeah.
Oh, man. I remember being Atari is what I remember. That's how old I am.
So here's a funny nerd fact. It is almost impossible to play the original Contra legally nowadays.
Legally?
Konami has made it almost impossible. The last time that they released the original Contra was on the DS on Contra 4 as an extra.
Well, because it's Super Contra now.
Contra C.
Or Contra C, yeah.
No. That is the Super C is the last time that is the oldest
Contra
one.
Contra C for gonorrhea.
It's not great, but it's not terrible, but it's not that original one.
Okay.
Neither of those start with a C.
No, but hepatitis C? No, Contra C?
Oh.
Okay, anyway. All right. So let me ask you, what was your first board game, though, that you played?
Probably Candyland with my family.
Wow.
Candyland.
Yeah. And that's actually classic.
Okay.
And then some with Monopoly. But it was mostly video games for a while, and I think I got back into, funny enough, board gaming with the original Zombicide when our friend Will brought it over.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when I kind of fell in love with board gaming again, and I started just eating it up, started doing my research, finding out what board games were new, and eventually what was hot, and I started buying all those top 10s, and next thing you know, I now have like 50 board games, and I have like half a room full of them. It's horrible.
James and I would have to rotate.
Yeah.
Because like we would be texting each other. I'm like, are you going to get this game? No. All right, I'm going to pick this one up. Are you going to get this one? No. Now, the other thing with James is he and I have been in the same basically role-playing group.
That's what I was going to say is that he was part of your role-playing group.
Correct.
You were bringing up.
I would have to jump back. So,
yeah.
Jump back in.
So my first like RPG sort of tabletop like pen and paper RPG would be Star Wars Die 6.
Wow.
From West End Games.
The West End. Okay.
That's yes. So, so that was back when I was probably 12 or something. I had a really good friend who was always our like storyteller, GM, dungeon master. He was Russell, and he was great. I mean, I was also a kid. He was my first experience, so I mean, who knows, but it was great. We went from that to then eventually D&D, and I played that for years before I eventually met you, mm-hmm. about probably
six or seven years later.
What D&D were you playing?
We started off at third edition.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Flat three.
That's flat three. That's good. Hey, flat three, bro.
I've never played flat three.
No?
I can't remember.
I was the last to show up at my friend's house that day when we decided we were going to play, because my mom was always late for everything. And, yeah, she was that one who was like, I'm right around the corner. Don't worry. Mom, we haven't
taking
left the
a
house
shower.
Yet. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we got to start getting ready.
I'm taking a shower, guys.
And I remember I got there and they're like, you have to play the wizard because we don't want to read that much.
Nice.
So my
just
first experience
shit up.
A wizard.
Bro, wizard, yes. Wizard in third edition?
I loved it.
No,
it spoiled
joke.
Me, but it yeah. spoiled me.
It was
like,
no fucking joke. You hey, know. Disintegrate? Disgusting spell if you played that in third.
Yeah. It spoiled me because now with the new editions where they made it a bit easier and much more new person friendly, I miss all those old like bullshit spells. You know, like transmute wall to mud and all the crap that they would never use now, but it was really fun to mess with your DM in the dungeon you're going through and you're like, no, we're gonna go through this wall. And you just turn into mud and walk through.
There's some stuff in fifth edition that feels like they brought some of that back. It's not as prevalent, but there's definitely some stuff that I've tried to use it on Will, but unfortunately our GM Will is a little stiff when it comes to his dungeons. It's a little
you don't
a little
get out.
He likes to keep things following, so shenanigans are not his favorite thing.
Oh, no,
he will bend if it amuses him enough, but other than that,
you usually gotta sauce him up in order for certain things.
If he gets drunk, then shit gets weird.
If it's funny, because he's let me get away with a lot. James has DM'd a lot of our games, and James lets me get away with a lot of shit if it entertains him.
Well, no,
I'll allow it.
He's like, so that's funny. Let's do that.
So I'm gonna let you in on a little bit behind the curtain here. Most of the problems I present, I don't have an answer to.
Oh. Nice, I like.
Because I've discovered that when I originally started writing like my own adventures, if I made the answer, I wanted you to get that answer.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, 90% of the time, you don't get that
and
answer.
And the thing is, nothing survives contact with
the jackal.
Yeah, nothing survives contact with the player. So now I just create the problem. It's your job to find a solution.
Do you have like a general idea of like, oh, I would like, maybe this would be interesting?
Sometimes I'll have a clever, I'll like, oh, it'd be great if they did this. But I try not to get it. First of all, it saves me a lot of time writing if I don't have to come up with a solution. But it's just more, I like it when it comes from them. Like, I don't force my idea of what the story should be. It's now their story. Here's the problem. The bad guys or whomever is doing this, and this is what they're going to keep doing. And then once they get involved, the bad guy has to, like, adjust to deal with them. But it's especially truly they're writing the story. I don't waste my time writing it. It, like I said, it saves a bunch of time. I have a job. You know, I got responsibilities. I can't.
Yeah, life, yeah.
Well, yeah, I can't just write all day.
In defense of Will, he did allow in one of the one-shots we did at one of the Ready Player Noms, let my monk become naked and breathe fire.
Yes, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, if you amuse him enough, you'll be like, all right, I'll let this slide.
If it amuses him. Honestly, I've noticed it, being a DM and done that a few times and actually playing, there are rules of thought. There's three general types of DMs. You have the rigid that is strictly just to the point of, this is my storyline. I need you to follow this. I will make sure that you follow this. I will do everything in my power to make sure that you follow this.
Right.
You have the other side of the coin, which is, here, I just said this is the end goal. However you get there is the journey. The journey is the fun part. So everybody get there how you like it.
Friendship is the real treasure.
Right. Friendship is the real treasure, guys. And then you have the moderate, the person that's in the middle. This kind of person, what they'll do is they'll start just throwing something out. And those are actually kind of the best ones, is that they'll throw something out. They'll see how the players react and they go, okay, so that's how you're going to react. Now I'm going to make sure that when you react that way, this happens.
Well, and the one thing I'll give major credit to James on is the game we're playing now is Starfinder.
Oh.
Infinite universe of possibilities. And
it's difficult.
And he's told us there's no set path for you guys. I mean, we're trying to be like the Serenity type thing where we're just kind of moving from job to job, but there's a bigger picture. But he's left it very open for us to be like, well, I didn't plan for you to go to this planet, but if you end up in this planet, you end up in this fucking planet.
It's almost like a No Man's Sky kind of situation.
Right,
where you're just
but
like,
better.
Yeah, but better.
Because No Man's Sky is a horse of shit. So anyway.
So I have a general outline
of... Shit of horse.
It's shit of horse. It comes from the butt of horse.
Like, I have a list of ideas I've had. You know, like, oh, this bad thing is happening, this good thing is happening, and wherever they want to get involved, they get involved. They hear rumors, they jump on them. But I generally don't know what they're doing from one week to the next.
Yeah.
You know, so if they want to go here, And so normally I end it where they say, oh, we're going to go this way. I'm like, okay, good. I can now plan this out for this week. And we go along that. And
yeah,
I've learned not to plan too far ahead because they go off the rails.
Oh, like big time. Yeah.
They've done things where it was just, oh,
there's no point.
Excuse me, they?
Rails.
Okay. Yes, they.
I have not done anything terrible
yet.
I have not burned an entire favela and are being haunted by ghost children. Will, I. that he burned in the favela.
What?
Yes. He burned down a favela.
So he got mad.
What the fuck?
They were chasing somebody, and he got mad that they escaped. So he decided.
So he just burned a favela in rage.
No, so he decided to shoot the guy's bed where he was sleeping. To shoot the guy's bed where he was sleeping
with a flame pistol.
He wasn't actually sleeping at the time, but he wasn't there. So he got mad, shot his bed with a flame pistol. I rolled a 30% chance to see if it caught on fire. It did, and he just ran off. And so the entire poor section of town burned down.
He left
Jesus
it on
Christ.
Fire.
I don't know what's worse, burning down a bar or burning down a whole villa?
No, burning down a whole favela.
Really?
Is fucking way
you
worse.
Don't know what's worse.
Well, the bar had booze in it.
Yes.
But so did
know,
the favela
no,
and
you know
children.
Why, you know why Kenny says that? Because Kenny was the one starting the fucking fire.
More than once.
All right.
Are you
well,
one
so
of those, are you one of those problem players where
no,
you just like?
Oh no. Well,
it
depends
up.
On the character that he's
depends
rolling.
Depends on the character that I'm playing.
If
and
you see Kenny pick up
percentage
die, get ready for some shit.
Yeah, because I played a character who was a barbarian who unfortunately had a drinking problem, and every time he would drink, I started rolling percentage die, and every time I rolled, it started a high percentage, and then it would get lower. And lower as I kept drinking until it got to a point where I said, okay, time to do something stupid. So I just go one real quick. One scenario was one of our teammates, right, from our group wanted buttons from this person that was sitting next to me. Don't ask why. They just wanted the buttons from his shirt.
It was quirky.
So I proceeded to ask the gentleman very nicely in the term of being a dragonborn. I intimidated him to give me his button.
No,
and
you
then,
didn't intimidate.
And
what
I,
did you do, Kenny?
And then I dragon roared.
You dragon feared. He used dragon fear to get a button.
Right? Which then offset.
In the middle of a crowded bar.
I don't even know how I'd react to that.
So, which offset everybody else because apparently this guy knows people. So, this is so.
Apparently he's a big deal in this.
Yeah. So, everybody started fighting. I couldn't, like, I didn't want to use my weapon, so I started punching people with subdual damage for like an hour and a half, right, of fighting.
It wasn't an hour and a half. It was 45 minutes.
Right.
Which
you just
took up almost all of our RP time.
Right. Which, to the point, we got zero XP that day.
I wonder why.
Right. And
so
and
salty.
Q
oh.
still, and Q still hasn't let me down. Hasn't let me forget about that.
I ain't gonna let
day.
You forget about that either, motherfucker.
So you right? guys do the XP. You defeated this monster. You get XP.
At that well, it stuff. All depends. Some people do that. Some people get it at the end of every session. Some people get it. Well, some people wait until they know that you have enough to go up a level to say, okay, you just went up a level.
So I do milestone XP.
Oh, you do milestones.
I've been experimenting with it. I used to do the whole, oh, you did this encounter, and eventually after X amount of time, or once you've finished the dungeon, I would say, okay, here's the XP you got or whatever. But I noticed that tended to make my players want to fight everything.
Yeah.
And when you're in town, there's no point to being here because we're not gaining anything from being
right.
here. So I switched to milestones. So now when they uncover a plot point, hey, look, you level up. Because
okay.
I've noticed it's encouraged, cool. it's encouraged
okay.
them to actually explore
that
and
makes
talk to people.
Way more sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
That could work. I can see some people doing that. I know some people like the XP. Well,
yes,
you go,
it just depends on
yeah,
your
it all
groups.
Depends on the group.
You know, every group is unique, and they have yeah. their own flavor, and you have to, you know, so, like some people just don't. I've played with a lot of groups that I just didn't mesh with. You know, some guy who kept strict track of what's in your bag, and, oh, you forgot to buy
oh,
32
incumbent.
Days of rations.
Oh, yeah. That,
oh, how are
no,
you
those
carrying
assholes.
30 days
well,
of rations? Because your backpack is huge, so obviously you can't carry that, and guess what? Now you're starving to death in the middle of the wilderness.
If you're playing a game where you have Fae and Dragonborn and stuff, I think you are allowed to have just a small bit of willing to suspension of disbelief.
Exactly.
Well, like,
yes.
But the thing is, like, his game, it's space, so we do have rations. We do have bulk, because Will's a rat, a 3-foot rat wearing heavy armor.
Right.
He's
a bowling
ball. He's like, oh, there's a rail gun. I'm like, okay, you're wearing heavy armor. He has a strength of 12 now.
Oh,
and
11.
11.
One like, of our players is now his pack mule.
Yeah. He essentially
he's like,
here,
oh, I
carry
want
this.
Hold this.
Yeah, hold that. Nice. The one yes. funny thing with James and is he, and I appreciate it as a movie buff and as a appreciator of pop culture, is he'll use names from sci-fi things, books, movies, TV shows, they're not necessarily associated with the thing, but he throws the name out there just as a kind of a, like the mission we're on now. He's like, oh, it's a ship that's, you know, sponsored by the Whalen Corporation. And I'm like, yep, I'm not nice. Going to that. And it was a ship that was floating in space. I go, like the first thing he says, I go, fuck you. Nope. So I know how that fucking shit works.
Every major corporation I've stolen from movies, animes, TV shows, basically all these evil, horrible corporations. Now that just because they're that in, and, you know, I've shown Chome from Dune. Doesn't mean that that's what they
what
are.
What it is.
But I like the name. And it's great to throw the name out there and watch my players, when they realize what it is, kind of freak out.
Yeah, he's like, oh, the Whalen Corporation. I'm like, oh, it's an Nostromo? Is that what it is? It's an Nostromo?
I hope you didn't plan on us going on that ship, because we ain't going on that fucking ship.
Fuck no. Unless well, I got acid-proof armor.
Oh, you got, oh, my ass ain't going your ship got hit by a meteor. Looks like you gotta die. Fuck.
Well, guys, since we're talking about games and we're going to continue going on games, let's talk about the two that I know that the majority of people here have been playing, which is actually Red Dead Redemption 2 and the latest Spider-Man game that came out.
Spider-Man.
So let's talk about Red Dead Redemption 2. Let's get off the gate. I have yet to play it. However, I already know that you would have no life when you play that game, because you're just strictly...
Nope. Yes. I mean, there's 70 plus hours of single player campaign.
That's because you're riding around forever.
Right. That's the one. It's a fun game. I love the cowboy aspect of it. Like, I'm playing it dressing like you know, I'm playing it like if I was in Tombstone. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it's unfortunately too realistic in times where you literally have to ride everywhere. So your each mission's gonna take you 10 minutes of just riding on the horse.
Oh, do you have different outfits?
Yeah.
I have like a good guy outfit when I'm being nice, and then I have like an all cliche all black outfit when I'm just being evil and robbing people.
I change. Like there's a gambler outfit that he's got like a super black wide brim hat. Like all that. And then cool. Like I went into the major city and I bought it's like the vest with the shirt and the little bowler hat, and I'm just like with a mustache, just putting up your dude.
All timey.
But so, there's a lot of things that the game does, like
horse nuts.
The horse nuts, that if you go into the snow, the horse's testicles shrink.
I didn't know that. So you'll notice that since you're riding so much. So most of my horses that I had were like female horses. You're always like, hey, you know, way to go, girl. And then all of a sudden I found a horse and started riding it. And
balls.
It was a boy. And one day during one of the cutscenes, I was like, what the hell is that?
What a boy.
It's balls. Just massive horse balls hanging from underneath the... I was like, oh, that's great.
Yep.
So perfect. So is there... No, I'm not even going to go into...
You punch a horse in the dick.
So
tell him the story, Gene.
So I mess up the controls a lot with it.
Another problem with the game.
So yes, there's a lot of the same controls you use for similar things. One of my first experiences was I got off my horse and I pressed circle because I just finished playing Spider-Man, and for whatever reason I thought circle was my thing, and I just decked my horse in the face.
He did a Mongo.
Now, I had already taken some damage, so my horse basically turned around, kicked me, and killed me.
Awesome.
Nice. That's good. There are consequences.
Like, I agree with you, horse.
Here's the funny part about this game is that it's gotten to the point where James and I will randomly text each other throughout. Like, I know if he's playing, because I'll be like, guess what the fuck I just did? Guess what the fuck just happened now?
So this last weekend, I was in a town, and I think I was trying to get my horse real quick to chase after somebody. And I accidentally held, I guess, one of the other buttons down. And when I pressed triangle to get on the horse, I'm playing on PlayStation, pressed triangle to get on the horse, instead of getting on my horse, I just started choking a woman.
What?
So she was next to the horse, and I just immediately started choking her. So some guy next to her, I'm
and then he had
assuming,
to finish.
Yep, and then I had to kill her.
Didn't ask for permission, so she wasn't into it. The middle of town, people are freaking out. Obviously, you know, you do that behind closed doors.
Yeah.
So I'm only assuming her husband was the guy next to her. He just starts punching me. Not into being cuckolded at all.
Well, yeah. No, definitely not.
So, you know what? You should have, at this point, that's when people do those video capture videos.
You're just
for,
like,
for their game.
Save clip.
Right? Yeah. Just save the clip.
So I go to engage him, not realizing I accidentally equipped my knife somehow and just stab him.
No, that was intentional.
So I stab him, I'm like, oh, well, now I gotta leave.
So no, I now I gotta bury the body.
No, this is the middle of town.
This is the middle of town. I ain't cleaning this. No, that's somebody else's.
Some lady just came out of the store, the general store, and saw him choking a woman.
No, this was in the middle
and
of
then stabbing her husband.
Yeah. No, this is the middle of St. Denis, the largest town.
Yeah, yeah.
Django.
So there was like 30 witnesses. I couldn't do anything to him.
Roadhouse.
So I start riding away. The cops are chasing me. I can't get away. And so I had to, unfortunately, two of them had to die so I could get away.
Right.
You know.
Because you're like, ah, since I've been trying to kill people.
It's, well, no. To be fair, I'm not exactly the nicest person in that game. You come across people like camping.
Yeah.
And so when I ride up and they're like, hey, this isn't an invitation. Get the hell out of here. I'm like, okay. And I lasso them and drag them through the water and waterboard them to death.
This so game. Basically, this is sociopath the game.
Yeah.
So
no, this is Westworld. They just didn't tell you. Yeah. This is indeed Westworld.
Except so, I've been trying to fuck things and I can't.
So hey, there's no fucking.
You can show, like, you I go can into show the me saloon. Horse balls, but I can't put my.
Wait, I go into the saloon and I'm like, I got money, and the girl's like, hi, and I'm
but
like,
there's hookers in there.
Yes. You walk into a room, like, and the girl's
hey,
writing,
and they're like, hey, and you're like, bye. I'm like, what do you mean bye?
Fucker.
Wait. Throw money. No, there's gonna be.
I want cholera, goddammit, and chlamydia.
There's a you DLC. Want chlamydia, cholera?
I'm already calling
the Wild West. I want it all.
I'm already calling
it. Dysentery, damn it.
There's a DLC happening for this that's going to be like, yes, now there are patch that's going to be updated.
It's going to be called Welcome to the Fuck Shop.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Fuck Shop. Where we fuck.
The Reveries is what we like to call this.
Now, something else cool about the game is your beard grows every time you fall asleep and you wake up.
What?
Yeah.
That fast?
Like when you wake up, like it slowly starts over as days go.
So your beard can grow, I think it's once every day or two, but it only grows when you rest. So if you're awake for 30 days, it doesn't grow. It just stays whatever it is. And then when you sleep, we'll start anytime there's a loading screen. So whenever there's a cutscene,
You go from like clean face to blah.
Yeah, so it's like one of those. It's like it's taking a while. You haven't rested for 30 days. There's a cutscene. All of a sudden,
it only goes to the next step.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That would have been great. It's like catch up.
No, I would have loved it. I would stay awake forever on purpose.
When you
just to go to sleep
to watch it
and like boom.
When you haven't rested for 30 days and you think you're choking a woman in the middle of town, but it's a brush, a tree in the middle of the desert.
No, it's the opposite. You're like, I'm gonna ride this horse. You're choking this woman. As your beard grows. Like,
I actually
what bit of Satan is this?
I usually sleep during the night.
Oh,
actually,
this is horrible.
It's a pain in the ass to ride at night. So I usually sleep at night.
You see him choking it, and then he goes, what's really happening? And he's dead in the water floating.
Oh, he's just
down.
Like this.
Oh, the Knight's Ladder thing. Yeah, got it.
Do you find it weird that you get honor for releasing fish?
What?
Really? I didn't even notice that.
So okay, you can fish. Tell me about this honor system that you're talking about.
So there's an honor system, which is, I guess if you want to be like a good bad guy or a really bad guy.
How big of a dick do you want to be, basically?
Right.
Yes. I mean, I'm mostly okay.
except when you're, you know.
Well, because
except when you're punching horses and choking women.
Punching horses,
no,
choking women.
I stab with love.
That was by accident. And also, if you drown people by dragging them behind you, you don't lose honor because apparently the nature killed them.
Okay.
Yeah, now, well, I have tied them up and thrown them on fire, and you lose honor for that.
Game logic.
Well, it just doesn't. Well, another fun thing to do is if you lasso them and I drag them by alligators or bears and they attack them and eat them.
Sociopath.
Yeah,
game.
Hey, well, you know what? They should have let me into their camp. They should have.
I literally just wanted to walk in the camp. That's all I wanted.
Look, I want to sit by their fire and cook some stuff, and they're like, get the hell out of here. Well, you're going to die now.
But yeah,
okay,
you have,
your options are for your options are to be dragged and eaten by an alligator, or for me to cook for you.
Or what
you
I
want.
Do is I
choose.
Do
you want me to cook for you or not?
No.
You want these baked beans or murder?
Or what I do is I run up
can
into their.
Can you imagine you do that? That is your whole thing. You just walk up to camps and go, do you want me to cook for you?
That's a serial killer. The serial killer in the
hey,
West.
I'm a criminal.
The campfire killer.
Or the other thing I do is I run into their camp and I scare their horse so it runs away.
Oh.
Now you're just an asshole.
Yeah, you're not just a dick.
But really quick, though, the honor system is just basically like you know, there's certain little things that you can do if you, like, save a guy that's on the side of the road that's got spit by a snake and you suck the venom out. You get honor for that. But what's cool is later. Well, a funny quick story about that. I went into town because what happens is sometimes when you do good things, you'll run into them later and you'll get stuff for it. Mm-hmm. So like I run into town at the general store and there's two guys on the in the front. And the guy goes, hey, that's the one that saved me. And he goes, you're the one that sucked the venom out of him. He let you suck him. Like the guy started making fun of him. And then he goes, but then he says, go into the store and get anything you want on me.
Oh.
So you could get like an expensive outfit or a weapon or something like that for free.
I became the gambler. Woo!
I got these fancy clothes. I'm sucking the venom. I have
wasted a lot of time gambling.
Well,
a lot of time.
It's one of those. I know it's an open world-ish game. And well, no, it is not.
No,
ish.
It's not.
It's an open world game. And I know that you can pretty much just not care about the actual storyline.
Yeah. And there's a lot of little, so like I read about this today because the thing is, and it's not spoiling because you have to be at the right place at the right time in the right, but like, for example, there's a ghost train.
Oh,
you have
yeah,
to be by a certain track at 3 a.m. and you can see a ghost train. There's also a UFO that,
they brought that back.
That, but here's the cool part. If you find the UFO, there's a burned body and it's the body of Michael from Grand Theft Auto 5.
Wait, what?
Because he's got a pendant on. That's like the same pendant he had on in the game.
Oh my god!
So
ridiculous.
Everybody's saying that it's his burned body with that really like defined pendant. So the UFO time traveled and left his body.
I heard there's like a werewolf, but it's like a full werewolf.
And yeah,
there's Sasquatch bones.
There's an actual vampire that you have to hunt. You can hunt.
Oh,
sweet. Nice.
Oh wow! So they get weird.
Yeah.
Did you do the whole thing where like you went to the? I think it was like going to Mexico. Like you go beyond like the border.
I haven't tried to do it. Right. I haven't tried to do it. They said that there's supposed to be an expand. That might be one of the DLCs.
That had to be because there's land. Like, it's actually, like, built up. Like, something's going to happen.
Right.
Even if it's just, like, in multiple.
I'm telling you, it's like Westworld. They're just creating the fucking things, waiting until they get the next patch or the next thing to come out.
Well, the game is huge. It was an 80 gig install.
Damn.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's pretty quick, but it's hefty.
Oh, no. I can imagine that game could be very immersive. Is Spider-Man like that as well, or...
It's not as immersive.
It's not as immersive, but it is actually a fairly decent facsimile of New York.
Spider-Man, the Spider-Man game is the best Spider-Man movie that's ever come out.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
No, straight up. It has a fantastic story. Really well voice acted. Yuri Lowenthal does the voice of Spider-Man. He does fucking everything.
You know that you know the controversy with the voice actors or the Mary Jane with Mary Jane?
No, what happened?
So the voice actors for Mary Jane's the girl from Critical Role. I'm trying to remember her name right now. But she's the voice actress for Mary Jane. But the body double that they used for Mary Jane for the face capture and motion capture and everything is this other girl. But people were like giving her crap because they were saying, because she was saying, oh, I'm Mary Jane in the games. I'm Mary Jane in the games. And they're like, no, give credit to the voice actress who's doing Mary Jane. I'll find her name.
Oh, yeah,
right
no,
now.
For sure.
You know what?
Yeah.
I hate when people nitpick bullshit. I honestly think.
Yeah, I mean, does that really matter? I mean, it only matters to her people who are hiring her.
Everybody.
Yeah. It doesn't matter to a layman like me.
Yeah,
like, I just enjoy the game.
I mean, and the truth is, she doesn't need it because she's a famous voice actress. Like,
no,
but still, you
want to
give credit for the voice acting, especially because the voice acting is so solid. Facial capture is really good. Like, this is one of the things where
everybody looks like
it definitely goes into the it's not Uncanny Valley. Like, they do a really good job, and it's
and I've seen the rendering changes that they made from when they did the first trailer to the last one. There was a lot of changes that they made, which is good. I really do like that. Honestly, both of these games are in my queue to actually play. Unfortunately, my life prevents me from doing such things. However, one thing that I do have time for, as always, is to play board games. So, you know, segue.
Just rolling across.
Just
on
rolling
that
across. That's segue.
George sound. George Carlin didn't need segues. Neither do we.
No, yeah. I try to do a segue, but I just throw that train in front
of
everybody.
You ever looked at a hooker's asshole?
Let's talk about board games.
I've never fucked a 10, but I fucked 5 twos. But yeah, so no, but this is the game that we are actually going to be reviewing today. It is, James actually brought it up earlier today. It is a version of Zombicide.
Correct.
But it's not the actual core game Zombicide. It has a little twist to it. A little twist. And what's that twist, James?
It involves orcs. Zombie orcs, to be exact.
It's Orcicide?
Green Plague. Green Plague.
Is that what they call it?
Green Plague.
No, it's not.
It's not Green Plague.
No, it is a
or
green
horde.
Green
horde. Oh, fuck the green horde.
No, that's not.
I'm gonna say that right
ominous.
Now. Well, guys, we are gonna be talking about a different version of Zombicide. However, it is still the same gameplay. It's still the same. It is a tile game. It does use a lot of miniatures, which I'm gonna tell you right now that it means a lot of setup.
Mm-hmm.
So already, you guys already know I'm a little apprehensive when I hear that the first time. However, that gameplay I mean, what else can I say? It was a lot of fucking fun.
Well, so first off, James, you are a very talented painter. Like, I was really impressed with the work that
you
put
into
your miniatures.
I consider myself average, but thank you.
No, everything looked really, really awesome. And you said that you got this version of it through a Kickstarter?
Yes, Kickstarter. Unfortunately, it seems most CMON games, Cool Mini or not, they kind of force you to Kickstart, because if not, you miss basically half the game.
Yeah.
And it's something that, unfortunately, discourages me from buying their games afterwards. So there's a few games that I will kickstart of theirs because I know I like the genre. There's another one called Xenoshift we could talk about later.
Xenoshift.
Oh, that's a deck builder. Really fun.
Interesting.
We got to play that one, yeah.
Actually, that might be a good recommendation for another episode.
A future episode,
yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. But so Zombicide I enjoy. I kind of have too many of them now, so I probably won't kickstart anymore. But they have a lot of other games that they constantly kickstart, and I'm just not sure if they're going to be a hit or not, and I don't buy them, and
you wait.
Surprise.
Yeah, the problem
afterwards,
is that
they're
it's
great.
A hit or miss, and then you find out that, oh, shit, I should have gotten
but,
that game.
But if I buy it after, when it's in retail stores, it's
you're missing a $50
everything. Game. It's a $50 game, and I have, you know, 5 hero characters and 30 bad guys. But if you kickstart it, you have 120 hero characters and 400 bad guys.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it's kind of a big difference.
But that's why people like doing Kickstarters, because it's one of those where, you know what, unless it's an actual name brand that you know is going to do good,
yes,
you it's a hit or miss. It's a crapshoot. Like in the previous episode that we talked about, I ordered 3 different games for Kickstarter. In fact, one of those, which is Binding of Isaacs, is going to be getting here very, very shortly. I can't wait for that.
I was this close. I was
so
super close.
I can't wait, because we're going to actually talk about it on here and see whether or not we hate it.
Okay.
But with Zombicide, one thing, again, with the miniatures, none of the miatures come painted.
Yeah, they're all green plastic.
But they are built.
They're all green, but they are built.
Yes.
They are constructed, but they're not painted. James, the pictures that we posted on our Instagram, which you guys should go ahead and check out on The Talking Geek, has the painted, like, and there's one picture that we put on there that I wanted on purpose, which is our characters, the wizard all the way in the back, and you have the dwarf, which I played, in the front, along with, I believe it was,
it's like Jeff's like character. 20, oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, Jeff's character, which I think
Well, the first time we played through, I think in the Instagram photo was the
no, that
Arabian.
Was the game. That was the game we actually won.
The game so we actually
the
won.
Game we actually won was the archer.
Yeah.
Right, you were the archer, so it was the archer, right? The human archer, the dwarf, and then you had the wizard in the back with his hands up, staring at this horde of undead orcs.
I can't do shit!
towards us.
What the fuck are we gonna do? All right, so let's actually rewind and actually tell people how to play this game.
Yeah.
Well, on a note to that picture, we did make the game artificially harder by only playing with 4 of us. It is designed for 6 players.
Yeah, which was a kind of a surprise. And I'm like, oh, okay, no wonder it was so goddamn hard.
That's why it was
hard.
Much more difficult, but that would have meant 2 of us would have had to or had 2 other characters there.
Which would not have been, I don't think that would have, I think it would have taken away from the actual fun that we had.
Yes.
But yeah, as Pedro said, let's go ahead and actually tell people about Zombicide, how you actually play. It is a tile game.
Yes.
And the way you start off is with characters, and they go by XP. Is it always by XP, or is it?
It's always by XP.
It's always by XP.
Yes.
Yeah, you have a counter on the character sheet.
Well, we can go back to the very beginning.
Yeah, go right ahead.
So originally when you get a massive booklet, and it has about 10 quests. Actually 11. Quest 0 is an introductory, very easy, and just kind of get you used to all the rules. How to open doors and movement, how zombies spawn.
Especially
like
campaigns, basically.
Yes. It's a campaign, but you don't carry anything over.
Right.
So it teaches you how to set up. It's a much smaller board, the introductory one. And eventually it gets to massive 8 tile boards, which are huge.
And we played what, the 6 tile?
No, we played the 4 tile. I chose the smaller one, that way we could finish in
a
reasonable time.
We're playing 6 on Saturday.
We were playing 4 tile, mind you. We played the smallest setup, and we were going fucking crazy. Let's just keep going.
Well, it was also very difficult because of hedges,
the hedges.
But that's another.
Yeah.
That's a bit later. So you pick a scenario, and you can go in order. It has a little storyline, but you pick a scenario, so from quest 0 to 10, and then you set up the board exactly how it shows. You put doors and hedges. And
each of those scenarios have their own objectives.
Right.
Yes.
Some are collecting markers. Some are just getting to an exit. Some are killing a certain type of creature.
It reminds me a lot of HeroQuest, really.
So
the original HeroQuest, yeah.
Once you set up the board, then you have everybody select their heroes. Heroes usually specialize in one thing. maybe they specialize in two different things depending on, but most of them are melee specialists, range specialists, or magic specialists. A few of them are can be kinda much like more designed. Yeah, a few of them can be designed for more movement, but most of them are kind of one trick ponies. You know, like you're going to go, do you want to deal massive damage or do you want to attack more?
Right.
Sort of thing.
You want to have a balanced party when you're going into this. We learned that lesson after the first game.
Yes. Yeah, very quickly we learned that.
So once you choose your heroes and you basically go and you have, usually it's most quests are gather this objective or like Jeff was saying, kill this type of creature. And that's basically it. Now, the fun part for me is, which is why I kickstarted, is the heroes. Because there's only, without kickstarting, there's only, I believe, four different types of zombies, orc zombies. There's the regular walkers. There's runners, which are very fast and can scare you. There's what they call fatties, which are just bigger zombies, which take much more damage to kill.
Right. Beef.
And then there's what they call an abomination, which can only be killed under special circumstances.
Right.
So, like, you have to light on fire with a Molotov cocktail or use a
Dragon Bile and a torch.
Dragon Bile and a torch.
Yes. Which Dragon Bile is a Molotov cocktail, just right. In ancient terms. Or the game also comes with a trebuchet.
Yeah.
So you can hit it with a giant rock from the sky.
For people that don't know what a trebuchet is, it is a catapult.
Yes, it is a French design catapult.
Well, and one of the bonus content ones, it's a ballista.
Oh, yes. Nice.
So there's a ballista.
So I have a ballista. But we didn't play with any of the... So in the Kickstarter, I think I got an extra 20 different types of abominations, which make the game insane.
Yeah.
There's like a dragon.
A abomination, Jesus a werewolf Christ. Abomination.
Now, and the thing about the game is that everybody has a set of movement.
Yes.
Everybody only has a certain amount of actions, I believe.
Three.
Everybody starts off with three actions.
Three actions. And the first time you level up, you gain a fourth action, which does make it getting around the... Which does speed up the game.
Yeah, as you kill zombies or collect objective markers, you gain XP.
Yeah.
There's four levels. There's blue, yellow, orange, and red. Once you cross those thresholds on those character sheets, there's skills associated with those colors. So once you hit yellow, now you get four actions a turn. Then once you hit orange, there's two different abilities that you can pick one. So depending, like what James said earlier, which path you want to take,
right?
You can pick one of those skills.
Spec it out. You can spec it out.
And the thing about the game is that they make it where it's very... The actual actions are simplified to the point where it's either you move, you attack, or you pick up, or you do an action pretty much. Either
like
you
search, open a door,
search, things like that. And then you have your special ability, which is a free action.
In some cases.
Here's the part that makes this game crazy. The engine that runs this is what happens after everybody moves.
Right.
Oh, yes. And everybody takes their turns, and after everybody moves, then you, because on the board you have tiles, which are the only place I can call them is spawn points.
Right.
Yes, they're spawn points.
These are spawn points. There's a deck that's right next to that you put right next to the game that you shuffle. Every time you draw, it tells you how many, depending on the experience of the party, how many orcs or in the original game zombies come out.
Yes.
And this game can ramp up very, very quickly.
This is my type
of fucking game.
So when you're starting off the game, there's five spawn points, I think.
Well, our scenario was four.
No, okay, so what?
Was it three?
And then the green objective became a four.
Right. So and the thing too is that, oh, it sounds like oh, it's only three spawn points. No, but we're talking about like every turn you have multiple of just normal zombies, or even later on in higher difficulties or higher experience, you have multiple of the special zombies.
Right.
And the kicker, the thing that really makes this game a big fuck you, is that there is a separate piece off the board where you add on extra pieces
for every time you play. Yeah.
Every time you play, you add extra ones. Is it based off on the card, or was it like half of what it...
Whatever, so it's based off the... So whenever you draw a card, it'll say... You know, for instance, spawn two walkers.
Yeah.
And then there's a plus, there's a little green plus sign there, which means add one to the horde.
Okay. So then you pull.
That's what it's called. It's called the green horde, which is a little space that
has a dead horse on it. It's been beaten.
Right. So this accumulates. The only way I can describe it is like if you ever play Monopoly and every time you have to pay property tax and you have to do all that bullshit, you have to put money in the middle. And then people use that illegal move where you go to free parking so that you can get all that shit in the middle.
Sons of bitches.
Well, when you draw a card that says release the green horde, that means that whatever was accumulating in that space now gets thrusted into the game.
Into whatever spawn you drew for.
So enter the horde.
If there's 10 or 15 pieces in there, they all spawn at the same time.
Correct. Now, mind you, if you look at our pictures on Instagram, you'll know that only so many pieces can fit on a space. So we started attaching them on top of each other and stacking them so that they could fit. And the game is, here's the craziest part about the game is this, is that when you attack, you have to roll. You roll dice. And there's a percentage depending on what weapon you use. It depends on how much it hits. It depends on whether or not you hit and then how much depending on the weapon you hit it for. The downside about that is anytime that there is a zombie or an undead orc in your space and it's its action, it automatically hits.
Yes.
There is no roll.
You can't dodge.
It automatically hits.
Unless you have one very specific item, you cannot reduce damage.
Right.
Armor.
And the thing is that you start off with 4 XP or 3 XP.
Three health points.
And they automatically hit. The smaller walkers and runners, they do 1 damage.
Nope, 2 damage.
Oh, crap.
All of them do 2.
Yes, 2 damage.
Oh, shit. Oh, fuck.
I didn't realize we could have died even worse.
Yeah. So,
2 damage. The fatties do more.
3 damage.
3 damage. And then the abomination eats you alive.
Yep.
Right? So that is the crazy part of the game is having to... It is indubitably a co-op game.
Yes.
Yes.
And Pedro looked at me and said, Kenny, this is a co-op game. We cannot kill each other.
And 2 seconds in.
And I go, okay. And somehow I almost fucked him over.
No,
anyway.
No, almost. You did. We lost the first game.
It wasn't because of me. It was just because I just happened.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. This game is absolutely 100% survival. You will not dominate this game. This is not a game about dominating and winning. This is a game about barely eking it out, and most people will not survive. When we played, we lost the first game because we played way too conservatively.
Yes,
we had bad draws. We played way too conservatively, and we got overwhelmed. The second game, the only reason we won the second game is basically it was only open one door.
We had to find an objective tile that was blue, which allowed you that. Which pretty much the only way I can describe it to everybody is that's the key to open up the blue door,
for
which allows you to escape.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So right. I basically escaped while everybody else held off the horde for me. Yeah. But it's fine because, again, we're not carrying this over. The point was just one motherfucker had to escape.
As long as one person makes it, we all win.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was one of those where we just have to sacrifice ourselves. And the way that these zombies also move, these undead orcs, is they go by sound. And they go by sight. So if they can see you, they are automatically going towards you. If they can't see you, then they go by whatever makes the most noise.
Right.
And usually the dwarf that's running around chopping undead heads attracts a lot of attention.
Right.
So, and the crazy thing about it is that one of the special abilities, which I was playing the dwarf that was a fighter, that he had, I just happened to have two axe. I happened to have, I forgot which axe it was. It was
a great axe,
which did a lot of damage.
Just right? Basically, I was just swinging it,
hoping I could hit a bunch of shit. And he also had a special ability, which is push, which allowed me to push all zombies that were all undead that were in my space one space over, which honestly was probably the best thing to do, was do as much damage as I could, push them out of the way, and then step back so that by the time they come to me, I can do that all over again, unless it was a runner and then I possibly die.
And then you have to hopefully hit and then.
Right. So this game is crazy. The game is, here's the thing about the game. It was great that James was there because James could clarify a lot of little things that we didn't catch on at first. However, the meat of this game was very simple to understand.
That's what I love about it.
And exactly as Pedro said, survive. That first round you have, that's the only time you can breathe in that game is that first round. So you position what you need to and get ready for the shitstorm that's about to happen.
That's absolutely
true.
And again, like teamwork is paramount because you can pass items between each other.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, you can also trade, quote-unquote trade with everybody.
That's one of the other actions you can do.
Yeah. So I'll also highlight the thing I really, really liked about this game is not just the presentation, and this is also probably because you have the, James, you have the Kickstarter version. Yeah. You have these hedges, these grass hedges that you can use to kind of blindly go in and to get across and to keep from getting overwhelmed. It came with the actual hedges, so you had a better way to kind of visualize it. Also, each character has a card, which is really important to keep track of your XP,
not only
all
the
of
card,
your information.
It's that little deck that it goes on. That
with
piece.
Pegs. And
yeah, that's what I had, like, that card that has dashboard. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
They call it a dashboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it has a tracker. It also has these little pegs that go to
hold your items.
And your backpack.
Hold your items,
yeah.
All this stuff. Yeah. So, honestly, if that is part of the Kickstarter,
That's part of the base game.
That's part of the base
game.
The
little
better.
Plastic dashboards are part of the base
game. Okay, I was about to say, because, man, if they didn't have that, that would be
if that was part of the Kickstarter, then that's really sad, because that means that everybody else has to keep track of that. But if that is part of the base game,
well,
that's really good.
The old school
one. No, the old school one
was
a card.
Paper
it was
card
a card
that you put all your cards on.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They clearly upgraded.
Yeah, yeah. The other cool thing real quick with the Kickstarter is he got the additional characters he got, the thing with Zombicide, and they did this in the original one too with some of the expansions, is they kind of have fun with pop culture.
Yeah.
So like, in just to name a few, all the kids from Stranger Things, each of them are individual characters as wizards and knights and stuff like that. They've got Prince as a character.
That's awesome.
They've got, which I'm waiting for James to paint it so I can play as that character, because I've already called that character from a long time ago. There's a David Bowie one.
Freddie
there's
Mercury.
A Lemmy. There's a Freddie Mercury.
A Wonder Woman.
There's a Wonder Woman who's the most broken character in the entire game. She's
strong.
Like, she can kill abominations like from the beginning.
Yeah.
Oh,
nice.
Her basic ability, her little blue ability, the one you start off with, is any melee weapon she wields deals 3 damage.
Oh,
she
wow. All right,
everything.
Cool.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they have so many additional new characters with that. Again, worth it to get the Kickstarter, because it's what, like 20-something, 30-something characters?
Yeah, it's like another 20 characters at least.
At least another 20 characters. Well, yeah, like cool. Badger instead of Wolverine.
Yeah.
The base game is still a lot of fun. So don't
Oh no,
be
the base game was fun. That's the thing.
Yeah.
The base game was a lot of fun. That's why we wanted to play the base version.
Yes.
We didn't want to, because that's the thing. We didn't want to actually pad our actual
a version that people won't be able to get.
We want to make sure that we gave it as close to a natural rating as possible. Which, honestly, I'll go first. The only reason why I wouldn't give it a higher number than an 8, and I'll give it an 8, and that's a solid number. The reason why I wouldn't give it anything higher than that is, honestly, setup.
Yes.
That is the biggest thing. I saw you setting up, and I saw you tearing down. With 4 people, it took about 5 to 10 minutes to set down.
Right.
That is 4 people.
I was mostly set up before you got there, too.
Yeah, we set up.
You didn't see that.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. So, to me, that is really the deterrent. Only for new gamers. Question. That's only for new gamers. New gamers, I wouldn't tell you to get this game unless you enjoy building, unless you enjoy painting. That's something, you know, that's a good aspect to it. Honestly, for this game, though, being experienced and playing other games and now going into this, if you love RPG, if you love just running in, destroying shit, and then getting out by the skin of your teeth, this is the game to play.
Yeah.
So I give it an 8. What about you, Pedro?
So this one's a little bit harder, because I really, really enjoyed this game. And if it were just based off my enjoyment, I'd be giving it like a 9, maybe even a 10, just out of pure enjoyment. But the problem is that I don't know if I can really recommend this for everybody, because it is a very difficult game. Mm-hmm. And and if you don't have a good group of people who knows what they're doing and are doing their fucking jobs, it's like playing Overwatch and having nobody actually doing their fucking roles. Because
who's
it
the
makes,
healer?
Exactly. Well, thankful there's no healer this time around, but like, but it's the same idea. It's like you need somebody like Kenny to push everything out and to block corridors.
You need
a ranged person to pick off larger things.
You need a balanced party,
and if you don't have a group of people to play that with, this game drops to like a 6, because I can see how it could become frustrating. So just based off my enjoyment, I'm going to kind of cut in the middle and give it like an 8. It's like a good in-between.
That's what I'm saying. An 8's a good number, because I don't want to deter from people thinking that this is a bad game, because it's not. And again, I've given long setups on good games a lower score. This game was a lot of fun. It was. Indeed, I would say that anybody that has already played enough of these simple setup games, if you want to try out a long run game, this is... The first, I would say to pick this one.
This is a good event. Like, once you're done with, like, Haunting on House, I never can remember that fucking name.
Betrayal on the House on the Hill.
Like,
Betrayal
that's a good, like, intermediate one, like, once you move on from, like, standard, like.
Which, by the way, I want to play Baldur's Gate, because that's.
I want to play the Baldur's Gate version. Yeah, that looks awesome.
It's very fun.
Yeah. So once you go on from the intermediate and you want to go to some harder shit, I think this is, like, a good one to go on. So.
Yes. I've made that mistake of trying to introduce this game to new gamers.
No, I can see that. No. Well. Yeah.
That's why I think Q would get it, pick it up, and
Q would get it.
Oh, yeah. Q would get this.
Yeah.
What about you, Jeff?
I'm giving it a 9, almost a 9.5, just because this is the one game that I'm always the first one to be like, "Hey, you guys want to play Zombicide? Let's play Zombicide."
I would always be down to play this.
Like this.
Oh, no, this game has a lot of good. This game has a lot of replay value.
This is like one of my favorite of the like board games. I love playing this game because you can just sit around, drink beer, and just laugh at how fucking ridiculous
and how like fucked you are.
You know, like so. Yeah, I give it an. I'll even say 9.5 just because I really love the game.
Yeah.
The half is because of the setup. Yeah, the setup takes... With me now, having done it, played it with James a bunch of times and stuff, I kind of know
how
I can
do
the setup like this.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like I have to give it a number because I just love the game.
Yeah.
Sweet.
James?
This is your game, so I know you're a little biased, but go ahead.
For me, it's probably a 7.
Wow.
I have some other games that I really like. I love this game, especially because it's co-op.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a true co-op game. There's no hidden roles where this guy's secretly a betrayer.
Damn it.
Anything. Yeah, nobody's working with the zombies.
I hope you can hear the fucking stare I just gave to fucking Kenny. Bastard.
But the setup time is really big turnoff for me in a lot of games.
Yeah.
So it's the teardown time. Because most people are like, "Hey, thanks, we're done." And they get up and I'm set putting it away for 10 minutes as I try to organize everything.
I help you.
A good thing about this game, though, is the community for this game is great. So people go onto Cool Mini or Not's website, and I believe there's also Reddit pages, and they actually make their own scenarios.
That's
so
cool. Nice.
So they actually, people will make their own scenarios where they tell you what tiles to use. So the game has tons of iterations. You could also mix it with the other game. So you can mix it with the original Black Plague. Okay. So you could have normal zombies and orc zombies all mashed together, and it gets crazy.
Oh, and I can imagine that. And it's one of those, it's kind of like Munchkin, where Munchkin can just mash everything together.
Yeah. Stack it up.
Stack it up.
And for me, when the more you mash it, the much more fun it gets. Because
it's crazy stuff happens.
Crazy shit.
Well, I like the variety. So now you have just regular walkers and then orc walkers. And
yeah.
And balancing, finding.
And I will say this, for anybody who's thinking about painting, this is definitely a good game to get started with. I started with the original Zombicide learning how to paint. Well, first, I watch a ton of YouTube videos. There's a lot of YouTube videos out there where people are just showing you their skills for free. And I recommend watching them, and they will teach you a lot of the basics. Yeah, your hand won't know the proper stroke, but you'll learn the basics. And the nice thing is, since you start off with the zombies, and since there's so many of them...
And since they're already having to be...
kind of fucked up, you're just like, if I fuck
one up. So here's a little trade secret. You start off with them, number one, they're zombies. They're not supposed to look pretty.
Yeah.
So you can practice with them a lot. Number two, anytime you really fuck up, you just cover that part with blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a couple times where I messed up on the eyes and I just put blood all over their face. And can't see.
That works.
You know, or I put ooze and pus coming out of their face so you just can't see the eyes or any part where I messed up on the clothing. I saw, I messed up on that clothing.
I like that.
So, and also they're supposed to look dirty and grungy. You know, nobody wants to see a clean zombie.
So just throw it outside.
Yeah. So, so for any aspiring painters or people who it's are authentic. Thinking about getting into it, this is a great game to start off with that. Yeah. And even just, you would be surprised how just priming them with a white color or a green color can change how they look.
Yeah.
Just priming a miniature makes it look so much better.
And that's the thing is that I have, and right now I have actually some tau that are from Kill Team. Which is from
Kenny was conned into buying fucking Kill Team and never fucking painted it.
People were conning me into
buying. I was conned by Sea Bear.
I have orcs in my house.
The game is
fun. I actually like the game,
but
it's one of those where he was conned into buying it.
I already have an addiction called Magic the Gathering. I cannot start another addiction like that because that is way too much.
Yeah.
And honestly, what I was actually thinking is bringing those over because coming this Saturday, because I know that we're gonna be posting this right before this coming Saturday. We actually have here in South Miami, in a location called Artistic Vibe Studio. We're gonna be having our next round of Ready Player Nam.
Yep.
Which is our pretty much we open the doors for board games for classic console gaming, and we're also gonna be having some sessions run for D&D. We're gonna have some tables open for Magic the Gathering, and I'm even thinking about taking my pieces. And getting some Citadel paint or whatever and just having people just go ahead and mess around with it and paint. Little chitlins.
Thin your paints.
Finger paint.
Thin your paints.
Thinner paints.
Thin your paints.
Thin it out?
Yeah.
Thin your paints. Hey, before we end,
I wanted to bring up that news.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, man, we got some news.
Funny enough,
in his loins,
Bear mentioned this game a little while ago. Betrayal on the House on the Hill is now getting, it just released a legacy game.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
It's 1360 minute campaigns, and it's a legacy board. It's now a legacy game.
I just never can rip any. Like, if I get something, it's like, I don't want to rip this card. I paid the money for this.
We did that with Pandemic, and it was awesome.
You did the ripping, and you destroyed the cards?
Yeah, legacy games, for folks that don't know, it's variations of games. They've done it with Risk. That was, I think, one of the first ones.
That was the first one, I think.
And what happens is, as you play the game, you actually change the board and change the game permanently. So, like, in Risk is one that has, I think, a little more replay value. Because Pandemic, once you play through it, you're pretty much done.
It's like $50.
With it. Yeah, but you get a lot of game sessions out of it.
Yeah. So you play a year in Pandemic, which is 12 months. And I think we played 15 or 16 games.
Yeah. Because thing is, if you fail, you restart.
This is
there
the
are
one
options
negative.
For restarting?
Well, No. So if you fail a month, you play that. So you play the first part of a month. And if you win, you go to the next month. If you fail, you play the second part of the month. If you still fail, then you whatever, and you go to the next month.
Oh. But it has negative repercussions.
There are actual conditions for continuing even though you fail.
Yes. Correct.
Okay, right. So there is no lost
for instance,
state.
Like in some legacy games, you'll actually rip up cards out pieces.
Yeah. Yeah.
The bare minimum games you'll play in that game is 12. Mm-hmm. The maximum you'll play is 24.
Yeah, so for this one, supposedly it's 13 60-minute sessions.
Okay.
The hard thing was with Pandemic Legacy, I'm assuming any legacy game, is it took us forever to beat it, like probably 2 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it just, you want to, because there's a storyline. So you want to get the same people playing.
Oh, yeah. You got
to
be,
you don't want to just like, you just jump in the middle and you're like, what's going on? Yeah. I don't understand what's happening. So we would try to get the same people playing, and it was just really hard to consistently get
the same group
to get people.
Yeah.
But
I'm sure I want to see what they do.
I'm going to buy it. Oh, that's on my list to buy.
Oof.
Probably next week, maybe before. Yeah. I might go to Cool Stuff this week and get it.
Then we have to create an actual group that will play this.
Yeah,
and you know what? That actually might be a good idea to do bonus episodes that we can put on our Patreon, which is following the story of this game.
Not a bad idea.
That's not a bad idea.
We could talk. Let's talk about that off the mic.
I just wanted to mention that because it was funny that you even mentioned
that's a good idea.
But yeah.
Yeah, and as always, guys, anybody that listens to this episode or listens to our podcast, if you guys have any ideas, any games you want us to play, I'm still waiting for that horrible game that you want us to endure and talk about, because the only horrible game that we've played so far, besides Settlers of Catan, I will always say it's bad. Besides Settlers of Catan and, of course, Resident Evil deck building game, we haven't really played any horrid games yet.
I have one for you.
Oh?
I don't know if it's horrid, but it is a mean game. It's a game called Lifeboat.
Okay.
And it is the best I've ever heard it described.
That sounds like your soul was moved.
Actually, when I drop you off, let me borrow that so I can play it.
It is a negotiating game where you have nothing to offer.
Yes.
Okay.
So the basic premise is your ship sank and you're rowing to lifeboats. No, you're in these lifeboats rowing to an island. So you have these miniatures that you place, these little figures you place in a boat. Every round, all the players vote on which boat gets a leak. So when a boat gets a leak, you have to throw somebody overboard. So then all the people on the boat decide who they're throwing overboard.
No,
and
Kenny.
So you're basically stuck with saying, hey, don't throw me overboard. Why? Please. Please don't throw me overboard.
Let's not even play. If we do that in any group, you're the first one. Everybody's going to vote your ass off.
Everybody's going to vote Kenny off.
Here's the thing, though. It's a game that's kind of dangerous because you can get that. Why are you throwing me off? Oh, because you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can bring some real life
shit in there.
That's no longer life. That's life.
Remember when you fucked my sister?
But if you want to play a game that's rough, that's
pretty cool.
That sounds game. That sounds pretty fucking funny.
That's more like we all drink and then we tell the truth.
Yes.
That's what
this
game's about.
And I recommend therapy the game. And if you're going to play with the max amount of people, that way there's no empty spots and you're throwing everybody off.
Okay. Well, I love this. Besides Lifeboat, if you guys have any other recommendations, by all means, let us know.
Yeah.
Find us on Instagram. Find us on Facebook. Find us on Twitter.
Grindr.
We're on Grindr as well. I know Pedro is at least.
And it was at one point.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jeff is 50 feet away.
Pinging on like, oh, shit.
The more you talk like that, the closer it's getting.
Yeah.
Right?
Three feet away.
So, of course, guys, like us, subscribe, follow us. Follow us on our social media platforms. Also, check out the Patreon for The Talking Geek. We always post bonus content. We always like adding more pictures. Always help us out. The more money that comes in, the more it allows us to give you great content like this. And, you know, guys, I guess we're going to go.
We're going to stop.
Yeah, we're going to go into our nice whisper voice right now. And I'm definitely going to say, don't vote me off the boat and throw Kenny off the boat first so then I can cuddle with Jeff on my own. It would be quite lovely. I don't want to share.
My grinder.
I want to rub.
The only thing we're not even whispering anymore.
Blah, blah, blah.
I don't know we were doing
what a clusterfuck.